Let me ask you a question. How many of you have Christmas Eve or Christmas traditions that you take part of in every year? Anybody have traditions? Yeah, those traditions are important to you. They help the Christmas season to feel normal. Well, I have to be honest with you. One of our Christmas traditions, and specifically one of our Christmas Eve traditions, is that after Christmas Eve service, we go home and we watch It's a Wonderful Life. Now, I have wonderful news for you, because for the first time in I don't know how many years, I might not actually fall asleep before the end of it. Because normally, when we have 7 o'clock Christmas Eve service, we don't get home till 9 o'clock. We got to get in pajamas, eat a bunch of cookies. We don't even start the movie till 10 o'clock. And then if you've ever seen A Wonderful Life, it's like a 6-hour movie. So I know something good happens to George Bailey at the end, but man, I can't remember because I haven't seen it in a decade. So we decided to change the time of Christmas Eve service just so I could remember what happens at the end of It's a Wonderful Life. Well, seriously, if you're familiar with this story, George Bailey is allowed to see what the world would be like if he were not in it. And he's surprised to find out that his life had an incredible impact on family and friends that were around him. This evening, or this afternoon, we're going to explore what would happen if there was no Jesus Christ in Christmas. Now, let me be clear for a moment. This is different than the idea of keeping Christ in Christmas. My wife grew up in Pittman, New Jersey, and every year they put a banner across Main Street in Pittman, and that I think I have a picture of it. The sign says, "Keep Christ in Christmas." Now, that sentiment is very noble, but the reality is we're not talking about protecting the Christmas holiday from commercialism or secularism or even excess. What we're going to ask this afternoon is, what would really happen to Christmas if Christ wasn't a part of it? In It's a Wonderful Life, George Bailey sees that the lives of those around him are dramatically changed, and not in a good way, because he was not there. The Bible tells us the exact same would be true for each of us if there were no Jesus Christ. So today, we're going to look at what would happen to Christmas if Jesus were taken out of it. Well, the first thing that we know about the Christmas holiday, if Jesus weren't there, is that the hope of Christmas would be lost. The first candle that we lit at Advent season was the candle of hope. And the Bible is very clear that without Jesus, there is no hope. Let's be honest, Christmas is a very hopeful time of year, isn't it? Maybe it's because we're just a week away from a brand new year, or maybe we're just looking forward to the gifts that are going to be under the tree and maybe getting that perfect gift from a loved one. Whatever the case may be, we're used to Christmas being a hopeful time of year. Why? Well, the reality is we have that hope because of Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, we read this. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Hope is the natural result of a right relationship with Jesus Christ. If we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Bible says we automatically have hope. Knowing that our story does not end when this life does gives us incredible hope. We've had a lot of people who have lost loved ones this year as part of this church. Some of them are sitting here today. And while we grieve over and over again at these funerals, we've talked about being people who grieve, but we have hope. Why do we have hope? It's because of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ made it possible for sinners like each and every one of us to have life that goes beyond this life. A future includes a new life, a new home, and a genuine relationship with our Creator and Savior. That, my friends, is genuine hope. Not hope that our economy will turn better. Not hoping that the next batch of people that we elect is going to fix everything. Not hope that Someday we're going to figure out the right cures for all of the world's problems. It is real, genuine hope in Jesus Christ. Romans 5:5 says this, "And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Our hope is not put in something that is faltering. Our hope is in something solid. A Christmas without Jesus Christ is a Christmas and a life without hope. But the Bible tells us that isn't the only thing that we would lose if Jesus wasn't a part of Christmas. The Bible tells us that there would be no peace on earth. The second candle that we lit was the candle of peace. And the Bible says that without Jesus, that peace would be gone. I had to be honest, I've talked to a lot of people over the last couple months about Christmas. And if I'm being honest, it's been a very crazy Christmas season. I don't know if it's, you know, Christmas falling on a Sunday or whatever it may be, or everybody, you know, we missed so many. It felt like we missed all these Christmases because of COVID. Maybe everybody's trying to get it all back in one season. But it's amazing. I've talked to so many people who feel so amazingly overwhelmed by Christmas. He said, "Pastor, I want to enjoy Christmas, but I just feel swamped by everything that's going on." Well, listen to what Jesus has to say in John 16:33. He says this, "I've told you these things so that in me you will have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." You want to hear something that may sound staggering to you? It's staggering to me sometimes. Jesus wants me and he wants you to have peace. That's something that God desires for each of us as followers of Jesus Christ, to live lives of peace. And what we see from John 16:33 is this. Peace is not about the circumstances of our lives, is it? Think about it. Jesus says, "In me, you will have peace." And then right after that, he says, "In this life, you will have trouble." In other words, is peace connected to the circumstances of our lives? Not according to Jesus. He says, you can have peace even when you have difficulty in life. And that's really opposite of what we think. Because let's be honest, we often think if we had less to do, or if we just had more time, we would find peace. But peace is a result of being near to Jesus Christ, not having everything done, and not having an empty calendar. Peace is available even when life is difficult, even when we're going through struggle and hurt, even when we're tired and worn out. Guess what? Jesus offers and desires for us to have peace. In Philippians 4:7, we read this, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Why do our hearts and minds need to be guarded? Because this life is difficult, isn't it? We go through incredible challenges. We lose people we love. We go through financial difficulties. We go through difficulties at work and in, among our families. Says peace is what guards our heart through these difficult times in life. See, peace is not about us. It's not something we create through hard work. It's not something we create through having everything organized. I know I like to try and do that. If I could just get everything organized, I could rest. But that's not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible says that having real peace is about being with Jesus. And as we talked about, if there is no Jesus, there is no peace. What else do we lose if we lose Jesus in Christmas? Well, we find out that there's no joy in the world. Our pink candle represents the candle of joy, and without Jesus, that's right. Didn't want to go easily. Proverbs 17:22 says this, "A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. See, joy is one of the most difficult ideas in the entire Bible. We struggle to find it at times, don't we? The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. But for many of us, joy is an incredibly difficult thing to find and to keep, even though the Bible asks us to have it. But the reality is that there is not one of us sitting here who does not want to constantly enjoy the feeling of joy in our life. Like peace, the Bible tells us that joy is not something that is created by us, but it is only found in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 says this, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end results of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Where does joy come from? Well, it's not going to come from what's underneath your tree tomorrow. Some of you are going to be really happy with some of the things you find, hopefully. It doesn't come from how the Giants do or the Eagles do or any other team does. That'll make you happy for a few minutes or make you really grumpy for a few minutes. Joy doesn't come from what your bank account is going to look like at the end of the year. Those things come and go. Joy is something that we have the ability to have. Inexpressible and glorious joy. And where does 1 Peter tell us we get it? It comes from having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Everything else in our life is temporal, isn't it? Our relationships are temporal. Our financial situation is temporal. How our teams are doing are temporal. How we're feeling today is temporal. But the one thing that lasts forever is our relationship with Jesus Christ. It does not change. Why? Because no one can stop Jesus Christ from loving you. See, true joy is not found in any gift you're going to unwrap this year or any song that you're going to sing. Joy is the result of knowing Jesus Christ has rescued you from your sins and welcomed you into his family. Because no one can take that from you. Joy is a result of true relationship with Jesus Christ. And when there is no Jesus Christ, there is no joy. Last one. The last candle we have is our candle of love. And if there is no Jesus, the love is gone. We're going to blow hard this time. Leave no doubt. 1 John 4:8 says this about as clear as any verse in the entire Bible. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Simply put, if there is no Jesus Christ, if he is not part of what Christmas is, then there is no love in Christmas. The Bible is very clear that love is not just something that God does, but it is the very nature of who he is. His love led him to action. Romans 5:8 tells us this. God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So if you remove the creator and author of love, guess what? You remove love itself. Joy, peace, hope, love. These candles that we have been lighting over the last month, they aren't just nice words that we talk about at Christmas. They are the very essence of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. They are the very things that we desire most to have in our lives. A Christmas that is filled with these things is a Christmas that we remember, a Christmas that we rejoice in. And all these things come from knowing and following Jesus Christ. An old shoe cobbler dreamed one Christmas Eve that Jesus would come and visit him the next day. The dream was so vivid, so real, that he was convinced that Jesus was going to come and visit him on Christmas morning. So when he awoke the next morning, he got up, he went out, and he cut green boughs and decorated his little cobbler shop, and he got all ready for Jesus to come and visit. He was so sure that Jesus was going to come that he just sat down and waited for him. The hours passed, but Jesus didn't come. But an old man came. He came inside for a moment to get warm and out of the winter's cold. And as the cobbler talked with him, he noticed holes in the man's shoes. So he reached up on the shelf and got him a new pair of shoes. He made sure they fit and that his socks were dry, and he sent him on his way. He went back to waiting for Jesus, but Jesus didn't come. But an old woman came, the woman who hadn't had a decent meal in 2 days. So they sat and visited for a while, and then he prepared her some food and gave her something to eat. He gave her a nourishing meal and sent her on her way. The old cobbler sat down again to wait for Jesus, but Jesus didn't come. Then he heard a little boy crying out in front of his shop. He went out and he talked with the little boy, and he discovered the boy had been separated from his parents and he didn't know how to get home. So he put him in his coat and took the boy by the hand and led him to his home. When he came back to his little shoe shop, it was almost dark and the streets were empty of people. And then in a moment of despair, he lifted his voice to heaven and said, "Jesus, why didn't you come?" And then in a moment of silence, the old cobbler seemed to hear a voice saying, "Cobbler, lift up your heart. I kept my word. 3 times I knocked on your friendly door. 3 times my shadow fell across your floor. I was the man with the bruised feet. I was the woman you gave to eat. I was the boy on the homeless street." Jesus had come. The cobbler just hadn't realized it. See, we can talk about how dark a Christmas without joy or without hope or without peace or without love would be. And let's be honest. If we took each of our Christmas celebrations and took all the joy away and took all the peace away and took all the hope away and took all the love out of the meals and the gifts and all that, it wouldn't be worth celebrating, would it? But here's the truth. Jesus has come. We don't have to think about what it would be like if Jesus wasn't part of Christmas, because Jesus is. Every Christmas we've celebrated for the last 2,000 years, we've celebrated knowing that Jesus Christ is at the center of it. And because we have Jesus Christ, we have hope. Because we have Jesus Christ, we have peace. Because we have Jesus Christ, we have joy. And because we have Jesus Christ, we have love. These aren't just random ideas that we celebrate at Christmas time. They aren't just something we put up on our door because it looks nice. This is what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We don't just talk about these ideas, we live them. They are what makes our days worth getting up for. It is the best part of Christmas. Knowing and living a life for Jesus Christ. Tomorrow morning, we're going to gather again. And I realize it's Christmas. I realize that there's so many things to do, families that will come over, gifts to open. And coming to church on Christmas Day can be tricky. But here's what we're going to do tomorrow. These 4 ideas that we've been talking about, we talked about how ugly the holiday would be without them, but here's the truth. Hope, love, joy, peace are gifts that Jesus Christ has given us for Christmas. He's already given us the gift of his son, Jesus Christ, the offer of eternal salvation. But that's not all that he's given. He's given us these 4 beautiful gifts. And tomorrow we're going to explore these gifts together. Not just so you can have them for Christmas Day, But they are gifts that are meant for you to have every single day of your life. We are called to be filled with hope, to be filled with peace, to be filled with joy, and to be filled with love. We'll talk more about what it means to have those gifts for ourselves tomorrow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we don't have to imagine a Christmas without your Son, Jesus Christ, because he is here. And our lives, both in this place and for eternity, are better because you are here. We thank you that you have blessed us with your presence, that you have allowed us to be children of God, not children born of human flesh, but children who are born eternally, forever with you. And Lord, if there's anyone here today who's never accepted the gift of knowing your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Savior, the Bible is very clear how we can do so. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible is abundantly clear about that. And the wages of sin, the Bible tells us, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The book of Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 tells us that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we would be saved. Saved from our sins, we become members of the family of God. And these gifts of hope and peace and love and joy, they become ours. Not just for Christmas morning, but for the rest of our lives here on earth and in eternity with you in heaven. So if there's anyone here today who's never accepted that gift for themselves, I pray that they would do so. I pray that they would receive the greatest gift that has ever been offered. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for the love that you show. We thank you that we could take part in it today. In Jesus' name, amen.